Welcome to sermons from St. John's Lutheran Church of Oaks, North Dakota. At St. John's Lutheran Church, we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ. We are a cross-focused congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been our privilege to share the unchanging gospel with Oaks and the surrounding area for over 100 years. This sermon, preached for the Ascension of the Lord on May 9th, 2024, is based on 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 5 through 15.
The Old Testament reading for the Ascension of the Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went still on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. That portion of God's holy word for consideration this evening is our Old Testament lesson from the second book of Kings and the second chapter, with special emphasis on verses 9 through 12, which read as follows. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Thus far the scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today we mark the Ascension of the Lord. And on this day, we remember that Jesus Christ returned to heaven. He went back to where he had come from, just as he had promised and foretold. And as we learn from the New Testament, this is not an occasion for sorrow, because Christ is not really absent from us. He's still here with his people as he also promised. He's here in his word and in the Lord's Supper and in baptism and absolution. And he has promised to be wherever two or three people gather in his name. Christ is still here. We do not have an absent Savior. And yet, he is not here as he was when he was with his disciples in times of old. And because of this, we Christians do rightly feel an absence, because we would like our Lord to be here, standing and talking as plainly as I am to you. Fret not, that day is coming. May the Lord not tarry. Amen. But the Lord is here. But he did have to leave. The question then before us tonight is why, And the second question, I suppose, is why did I want to talk about Elijah to talk about that? Well, let's just take a quick summary of the New Testament and what it says about our Lord and his departure. Firstly, we are told that he goes to prepare a place for us in heaven. This allows us the space that we need to do, as Jesus said, greater things than even he had done. Well, these greater things do not refer to individual miracles, but to the breadth of his church, which now spreads throughout the world and has brought men and women of every race into the kingdom of God. The ascension also validated and seated our Lord in authority and power. That is to say, it put all things under his rule and showed that he is for all time the head of the church. Even more, his ascension ordained him to be the eternal high priest. And so now he stands in the great heavenly temple, and there intercedes for us continuously, mediating, pleading between the Father and us so that he would grant us what is good and right through the blood of Christ. And of course, from his right hand position at the Father, he also sends to us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who gives us the gifts of comfort and peace and all of the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, this work of our Lord was brought to a sort of temporary conclusion in the ascension. That is to say, he moved himself from this place to paradise in order that his absence allow the fullness of his salvation to be bestowed on us as he had promised. Now we have the Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit who awakens in the hearts of people faith. The Holy Spirit who gives us peace and joy. But it wasn't just the Lord Jesus who talked about his ascension. You know, if you read the Old Testament with the eyes of Christian knowledge and faith, you will see the promises and works of God everywhere in the Old Testament. One of the great examples of this is before us today in our Old Testament lesson. Elijah was taken away into heaven in a whirlwind, accompanied by great fiery chariots from heaven and their fiery horses. There's only one other example in all of the Bible besides Jesus and Elijah of somebody being taken bodily into heaven, and that, of course, is Enoch. And the only thing we know about Enoch is that he walked with God and then he was no more. That's all it says in Genesis chapter 5. So there, it doesn't really do us much good to talk about Enoch, which is why those who put together our lectionary chose Elijah for this evening. In other words, they saw, as have Christians for generations, great parallels here between Elijah and our Lord Jesus. Now, if you remember your old Sunday school days, you might remember that Elijah was the great prophet after Moses. The greatest prophet, in fact, since Moses, and was told to have been promised to come again. Now, we know that the return of Elijah was fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist. Jesus, our Lord, proclaims John the Baptist the fulfillment of the return of Elijah. But Elijah doesn't just show us John the Baptist. He also here shows us Christ. Now, this is a concept that I've talked about before. The theologians call this typology. That is to say, there's a thing that happens in the Old Testament, we call that the type, that corresponds to something in the New, which we call the anti-type. This gets confusing because most of the time people think the term should be the other way around, but it is what it is. The basic idea here is this. We see a historical episode in the Old Testament that prefigures by way of enactment in history something that comes in the New. So here we see with Elijah. And if we stop and think about the parallels here, there are quite a few. Elijah has to be taken so that the next guy can be set up, that is Elisha the prophet. And Elisha is given a double portion of Elijah's spirit and does great and mighty things, almost to a comical degree, as you read through the book of 2 Kings. Similarly, our Lord Jesus is taken from us into heaven and gives us the Holy Spirit, who gives us great miracles extending across the whole world, even something our Lord in his earthly ministry did not accomplish. Well, and it isn't just that either. Elisha is taken up in his body to fulfill his ministry. So too our Lord Jesus is taken up in his body as a fulfillment and completion of what he did on the cross. Until Jesus is installed at the right hand of the Father, we do not have the full benefit of the salvation that Jesus earned for us. And of course, these things are not only seen in episodes like this, we see this in other places in the Old Testament. The ancient theologians called this shadows, these Old Testament events that showed us New Testament realities by way of glimpses and glimmers as we see these historical events fulfilled completely in Christ. Elisha then is given this double portion of spirit after Elijah is taken, and he goes about, of course, doing the prophetic ministry of God. Now, friends, this is all to make a relatively simple point. The things that have happened in history for your salvation were organized and orchestrated by God. They are not by accident. Every single event, no matter how small and insignificant it might seem, was done so that you would be saved. For example, the book of Numbers. A lot of census data in there. Some of it doesn't make a lot of sense even to me, your pastor, and yet I know that it was recorded so that we might have faith. And the problem with that, of course, is not the text, but me. The same thing here, friends, is seen with this passage as well. Elijah was sent only to the people of Israel. Jesus Christ came, of course, to die for all people and to bring all nations to himself. And here we see then something else important about typology. There is a point of comparison, but there's also a point of dissimilarity. Elijah, of course, is not God in the flesh. He is a man sent by God to proclaim the word. And he did not die for the sins of the world, as Jesus has done. So, this plan of God's, this sending of his son to suffer and to die, to rise again, and to ascend to the right hand of the Father and there intercede for us as our prophet, priest, and king for all eternity, bestowing on us the lavish blessing of his salvation, was not a second plan. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something that he stumbled into. It was always his intent to do this. We see it here demonstrated for us by Elijah and Elisha, how they foreshadow the coming work of Christ in his ascension to the Father in order to provide for you, dear friends, all salvation and all of those things that you need to endure from this life unto the next. In the holy name of Jesus, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you like what you heard, check out our website, stjohnsoaks.org. That's OAKES. Or visit us for services at 9 a.m. each week. Feel free to email us at stjohnsoaks@gmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to having you enjoy our messages again next week.